Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, football is over. The Super Bowl happened. We will recap everything that happened. It was, some may say, the worst Super Bowl that we've ever watched because we weren't alive for the first, 10 Super Bowls. But it was still compelling in its own right. We had the longest punt of all time. That was cool. We also have some awesome interviews from our Super Bowl week on radio. So we thought it was, we did like maybe our best interview we've ever done with Dan Patrick. We had Ocho Cinco, Schlereth, Ian Rapoport. We thought we wanted to give it to you guys so you could hear it if you missed it on radio. And we also have a new interview with Mr. Portnoy Esquire, the people's lawyer, because his son got arrested tonight and we wanted to get the legal side of it. So it's a packed show for our last football Monday.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by our brand new YouTube page. Go subscribe right now. Make sure you subscribe because we're dropping videos all the time. Today is Monday, September 4th, and the New England Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl. Tom Brady has won two for – where would he put – where is he going to put the sixth?
The sixth one goes in your dick, yeah. It's
six for the thumb.
Keep it nice and hard.
There was actually a weird Photoshop where they made him have six hands.
It's six, like, fingers?
Just chill out. Six fingers.
Actually,
yeah,
six hands would be even better.
Just hold
and
them.
Just one ring on every ring finger.
Yeah, so football's over. And that was the worst Super Bowl. I think we can all agree the worst Super Bowl we've ever watched.
No, I'm going to disagree. I would say the worst Super Bowl that I've ever watched is probably the Denver Seahawks Super Bowl.
Yes, okay.
But that was just because it was a blowout from the very start.
Okay, so you're right. I immediately, as it came out of my mouth, I was like, that's actually wrong. Because we've watched worse, and even in the 90s we watched worse because the Cowboys would just kick the shit out of the Bills and it would be over before it even started. It was like... It just wasn't a good. It wasn't well played. Like, it was compelling because it was close late, and there were moments where you're like, "Man, this could go either way." But it just was gross offensively. The Rams drives: punt, punt, punt. How many punts did I just say?
Three.
Punt, 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 seven, punt, eight. Field goal, punt,
nine.
Interception, field goal, miss.
Nine
Those
punts.
Are their drives.
So nine punts for the Rams. Yeah, it was bad. But, I mean, the New England defense was very, very
unbelievable.
Good. And I actually thought the Los Angeles offense was just like, they didn't look like themselves. Todd Gurley was I think he's hurt. He denies that he's hurt, but I'm pretty sure that he was. There's something wrong with
him. He's getting the Steph Curry benefit.
But then even CJ Anderson didn't play any better at all. So it was like, yeah, the offense for Los Angeles sucked. The offense for New England, minus Julian Edelman, was pretty bad until the fourth quarter, too. Super Bowl MVP. Shout out, Jules. Nice job today. And now, I'll tell you what, the Hall of Fame debate about Julian Edelman is getting really heated up right now.
Robert Horry.
Yeah.
So Julian Edelman ended up with 10 catches, 141 yards. So you're right. Mm-hmm. The Patriots did everything. They made the big plays. Tom Brady was not, I think anyone would say, Tom Brady did not look at his best.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to have one good drive to win that game, and he did it late. And that's kind of why he is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And Julian Edelman was fantastic. Gilmore on their defense was unbelievable. I thought he was probably the best player on the field. And the Rams offense, they just shit the bed. Like, I don't know what Sean McVay actually probably would have had a better game if he let us call the plays.
Probably.
Like, now, he promised us, and then he just totally just didn't give us the suite or the ring or the play calling.
Well, we did call the last play, but just for the Patriots,
right,
which was the kneel down. But, yeah, it was not a great showing. Now, you have to ask the question, do the teams that hired all of Sean McVay's assistants get to return them after this showing and be like, Matt LaFleur, I don't know. We never actually signed the contract. Jim. What contract? I don't know. I don't see a contract.
Well, it is funny because we've joked about it, the whole hiring spree that went on where everyone wanted the next offensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you're saying when you hire seven out of eight, or I guess the Dolphins are going to hire Brian Flores and the Broncos hired Vic Fangio. So six out of eight offensive guys.
Mostly young.
The fifth or sixth guy that gets hired is the fifth or sixth best offensive guy, so he's probably not that good.
Exactly. Yeah, there should be, you know how there's the Rooney rule?
Yeah.
There should be an Andy Rooney rule where every team has to hire one coach that's not a whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Like an old curmudgeon
guy.
Yeah,
Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio, exactly. The Andy Rooney rule. I think, by the way, we'll get back to the game, but I really think that Fangio is a good hire for the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We haven't really talked about that much.
No.
But, it was an ugly game. The commercials sucked, except the Bud Light one, because I didn't know that Miller Lite and Coors Light are brewed with corn syrup,
ooh,
which I guess is bad.
Mm.
But it actually makes me want to drink Miller Lite and Coors Light more.
Yeah, put more stuff in there.
Give me all the synthetic shit.
We'll get to the commercials, and we have some thoughts on some of these commercials. But McVay was bad, and look, Jared Goff's a very good friend, and he's still very young, so I think he'll be back in this game. He didn't play great. Like,
mm-hmm,
he'll be the first to admit it. There were moments where it just didn't work out. And credit to the Patriots, because what Belichick does and how he just basically reconfigures his team on the fly to make them a power running team,
mm-hmm,
and their defense somehow comes together. And then the only time they zero blitz all game long is the Goff interception.
Yeah, but
they held that
right
all game long and waited and waited and waited, called it the perfect time. And then they get the play that basically decides the game, because if the Rams score there, who knows who's going
to
win that game?
Right, and Goff has to take that shot. It was the right throw to make. He just didn't get.
He's got to see the blitz coming.
He didn't
too.
Step into it. He saw the blitz coming. He just didn't step into it enough. If it had been thrown 5 yards further, maybe it would have been caught or at least incomplete. Probably not an interception. But bad game overall. The post game was interesting. Did you see Tom Brady kissing Robert Kraft on the lips?
Kissing Robert Kraft?
Yeah, just like lip to lip on Robert Kraft.
He was just going all the way in?
Well, yeah, he's planning the most elaborate game of suck and blow of all time with Robert Kraft and then his son standing next to him.
So what happened was they went like head to head and then kind of did a little sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Kraft went in for the kiss-kiss.
They both went in for the kiss-kiss, which makes me think they've probably done it before, which is okay. I actually think that guys kissing guys on the lips just as bros is probably coming back in 2019.
Ooh, okay. That was very weird. It was also weird how they just basically, I think it was Tracy Wolfson, walked in and tried to get a Brady interview before anything even, like, they didn't even they hadn't even celebrated yet, and she was like, hey, Tom.
Well, I sympathize with her, because her job is she gets the exclusive first interview.
Right.
So if she doesn't force herself in there,
but she's gonna get
then
in
she
there
gets
anyway.
Pushed out of the way by a lot of people.
So, other notes that I took down from the game, I don't understand what the fucking timeouts were on both sides. Sean McVay, You don't get to roll over the timeouts.
It's because his holdback guy wasn't there today.
His mind was
elsewhere.
Two timeouts he goes into the first half. In the Super Bowl, two timeouts.
and you had a chance, 3rd and 2, I think it was, with about 35 seconds left, when you're like, call timeout and get your right play. And maybe you have a great kicker, try to get 15 more yards and kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And it was just baffling. It just felt like the Rams, besides their defense, which was very good, the Rams, it was just like the moment was a little too big at times for what they were doing. And Wade Phillips called a great game, guy who's been there. And that's kind of what we expected, where a Patriots team, everyone, you know, all those guys have played in the Super Bowl. Brady and Belichick have been there so many times versus a team that just doesn't know how to react to situations like this and big moments.
I do want to give credit to Devlin. Devlin had a hell of a game today.
So he had the big block on the touchdown.
Yeah, he had a couple big blocks. The power running game, there was one play where they just let Sue run free. And Devlin came in with almost like a wham block on him that Sue never saw coming. Devlin had an awesome game, and it's no coincidence that a team with a fullback is the reigning world champion because they zag when everybody else zigs. I don't know. I'm serious. He played a good game, though.
Yeah. Liam is here. Hank is he's down in Atlanta, didn't go to the game. Liam, congratulations. Thoughts?
Thank you.
Liam also decided to wear a full Boston Red Sox uniform tonight.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, just in case the Patriots lost, he still wanted to be representing a champion.
Like, no, he just wanted to be like pitchers and catchers, guys.
Yeah.
Already on to the next one.
By the way, people were tweeting about baseball. Like, we still got basketball going on. Mm. Everyone was just jumping the gun there.
Mm.
Like, we're next.
People who jump on baseball too fast are, like, super annoying. Like, who cares if you're watching a video of pitchers and catchers?
Right. And April, no, like, I love those spring break videos taken through, like, 3 chain link fences.
April is a little too early to be all in on baseball, so let's just, like, the we're next, here we come. Like, come on. We got March Madness, we have NBA, we have Masters.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stuff that we have to get to.
Jim Nance season hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
You have to let Jim Nance get all his swag out. Shout out Vineyard Vines, Jim Nance's new main bay.
Yes.
But, yeah, so, yeah, lay off baseball for a little bit. Let us mourn first and get over the grief that we suffer from the NFL season. And you know who else was a big winner today? The, like, 9 different football leagues that are going to start playing in, like, a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last taste in our mouth of the season was, like, a shitty game.
Yeah, it was
so we're like, you know what? I'll watch any football because it's probably going to be better than that.
They didn't have a red zone play until the fourth quarter.
It was all defense. Like,
so what were your thoughts?
I just think the defense showed up. I mean,
they showed out.
They just had them game plan so much better.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody hyping up McVay, like, they didn't really throw anything at him that they couldn't handle.
It was very strange. McVay is a great young coach, and he will probably be back in this game. He'll probably win this game a couple times before his career is over. But for a first showing, it was a clunker.
And he has to remember it, too.
Yeah.
That memory is seared in there. Bubba, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the outcome of this game is any different if Cooper Kupp's playing and Belichick's just, like, out of respect for him, he's like, I can't have my defense tackle this white
receiver. Yeah, he's got his eyes on Bay the whole time.
Yeah, he's like, let this beautiful pony run free.
I actually just remembered right now and pulled it up. My favorite tweet of the year from September 23rd, 2018, from Bill Simmons. In coverage, the Patriots linebackers look like they're running in Balenciagas. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's a good one. No, that's a good one.
I just remembered that right now.
I'm 34 and I don't even know what Balenciagas are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not try to pretend that we know what Balenciagas are for all the old guys out there.
I also want to say that I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
I am pissed off.
Yeah?
At my bookie.
Oh.
Because the Gladys Knight National Anthem was set. My over-under that I got out was a minute 53.
I mean, you could say I did too.
I took the over.
I got it as well.
Did you get it at minute 53?
Yeah, we have this.
Okay.
Okay.
You got it at minute 53 too. We both took the over. And the song lasted like 2 minutes and 2 seconds by everybody's clock.
You're too brave.
But she said brave, and then she paused for like a nanosecond, and then said brave and held it out for much,
bullshit,
much longer. And so we ended up losing after that. We thought that we won. We had a hot tip come in.
And then I guarantee you, I don't know this for a fact, but I guarantee you one of these fucking sports books is going to be like, we give everyone free. We're giving both sides free money, and then Ravel will tweet it out and give everyone
free. We'll get to him.
We got Tails, though.
We did. We fucking nailed Tails.
Tails
and Blue Gatorade.
Tails was
Tails
easy.
Tails is the easiest bet I've ever made.
Yeah. What about the halftime show? What about Imagine Dragons? I was going to say, like, Maroon 5
was
is
good.
Like a watered down.
Dude,
they're like, if you say Maroon 5 3 times
bangers.
In the mirror, Imagine Dragons shows up.
All right, let's get to that and the commercials. Right before that, because we're talking about gambling, I want to just say, I was getting laughed at because I bet the over, and I said I bet the over. But
Imagine being Big Cat tomorrow.
But here's a nice wrinkle here for everyone who bet the over. You were part of history, okay? you bet the over on the lowest scoring Super Bowl game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking cool, man.
It's a story.
If you're going to lose, you might as well lose in such an insane amount of like we were, how many points did you score? 16?
Yeah.
We were 40 points off.
Mm-hmm.
40 points off from the over. The five previous lowest scoring Super Bowls all happened so long ago. It was Super Bowl 7 was 14-7. Super Bowl, I can't read my fucking 9, was 16-6, then 3, then Super Bowl 6.
I don't even believe that
five.
Those games occurred. Like
all
when you say
Super Bowl 10.
When you say Super Bowl 6, I don't, that's, that might as well have been played in like the Ottoman Empire.
Wait, what's IX? That's 9?
IX is 9.
I fucking crushed that. Super Bowl 7, Super Bowl 9, Super Bowl 3, Super Bowl 6, Super Bowl 5. Those are the lowest scoring Super Bowls until tonight.
Yeah.
And you, if you're sitting there and you're like, man, I lost. Now, listen, this is not going to pay the money. You're not going to be able to pay your bookie with this fact that I'm giving you.
You can try.
But it does feel good to know that you are part of history and 40 and a half points off of an over-under.
Yeah.
If they played for 10 more quarters, we would still be 30 points away from the over-under.
Now, I saw somebody say that the Patriots defense played zone the entire game except for Gilmore.
Well,
they had Gilmore running man for the entire game.
That's
isn't
right.
That, isn't
he was
that
fantastic.
Weird?
And the Patriots, this is what we were talking
this
about
so
with
weird.
Belichick. This is so random.
It's weird.
So random.
Is it weird?
This is why Belichick is, I actually think this is probably his best coaching job, because they're probably not the most talented Super Bowl team he's had, but they ran man basically all year, and then they ran zone in the Super Bowl and just fucked up Sean McVay.
I would also like to say that Belichick's getting soft. If you saw him at the post game,
yeah.
He was like holding his grandson or some
it was a granddaughter.
Some child,
Jesus Christ,
granddaughter.
PFC.
Well, I didn't want to assume, but like he was smiling so much. He was laughing. He was having a great time. Not the same Belichick.
Yeah. He is loosening up a little.
Yeah,
in the
that's
old
what
age.
Happens when you get a grandson
no,
or a granddaughter.
But did you see, the funny part was when they asked, like, Jim was like, this is a special one, like, pointing to the granddaughter. He's like, yeah, it is. And then went right into, like, breaking down the game.
He's like, don't talk to me about my family.
Yeah. So let's break down the other stuff. Halftime show. I actually enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. People love to hate the halftime show just out of reflex now.
I was just thinking about Imagine Dragons the whole time. I'll be honest with you. I was like, this could be Imagine Dragons, and it's not. Adam Levine was okay until – actually, I was happy when he took his shirt off at the end. And he had all those jailhouse tats on him.
Come on, man.
No,
you get it. You fucking – you work out. You're hot.
He's
keto.
He's keto as shit.
You're awesome.
I was cool with it because he proved himself that he was a beta. It was like he just had two nipples.
Did he have a tattoo right across his stomach that said California?
California, Cali, bro.
Yikes.
That's why you don't like him.
No, I mean, I'm very...
And then
I wish I could be a... What?
Intimidated.
Oh, yeah, but I'm also wish I could be a full-sleeve tat guy. Like, those guys are fucking badass.
I think I'm going to get a half-sleeve.
Okay, you've been talking about this forever.
Years.
Yeah.
No, years. I've been talking about
been
for years.
Talking about getting
a plaid half-sleeve.
Or I could... Shut up and do it.
Or I could do... I'm like Todd Gurley with cats with my sleeve. I'm thinking.
Oh, remember Todd Gurley?
Yeah, remember him?
We should just start doing that.
Yeah, he
every,
at one point.
Every week. Hey, yeah, remember
put
Todd
him on
Gurley?
A milk carton.
He got cursed when he went down and lost us at over-under week 9.
I believe I said you will never win a Super Bowl, Todd Gurley. Do you think I could pull off the California stomach tattoo?
Only one way to find out.
I think that looked pretty badass.
Try.
Yeah.
Fucking do it. All right, so we had that. The halftime show was decent.
It was. Big Boy was great, except he wasn't wearing a seatbelt when he drove that car out onto the field, so that was kind of questionable, setting a bad example for the kids. But he was good.
SpongeBob, we understood that.
Yeah.
That was
got
cool.
It was like, I know that
show.
Yeah,
like, oh, that's Patrick and Squidward.
I just looked it up, and that episode came out in 2001, so that was also a 17-year challenge.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, the 17-year
challenge.
Yeah,
the hottest another social one. Media trend that CBS started.
Mm-hmm. I've got a joke that you're going to make me bleep out. Public bleep this out. You know who started the original 17-year challenge?
Who? Okay, yeah. Bleep that out. Yeah. For sure. Bleep that out. Bleep that whole joke out.
No, just the punchline.
No. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
fill
just
in your punchline
yeah,
here if you're
do
listening
your
at home.
Punchline. It actually is not even right.
Well, no, don't. We don't need
well,
to.
Well, no, bleep this
you
next
know
thing
great
out.
Is
bleep
explaining,
this next thing out.
Yeah, explain the joke.
He's more like.
Yeah.
Okay, bleep that out
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, please. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. The commercials. So. Super Bowl commercials suck now because you get to watch them all online, and it's just not the novelty of a Super Bowl commercial 10, 15, 20 years ago was it was like you never got to see these ads. You never got to see, you know, the best of the best stuff they want to throw at you, mm-hmm. just because there wasn't as much TV and there wasn't, you know, like you're not just inundated with Twitter and Instagram ads all the time. But with that said, there were three commercials I thought stood out to me. One was the Washington Post, because journalism is back. Mm-hmm. Let's save journalism. This is actually a real sentiment from us.
I think they probably wrote that commercial after they saw me get arrested. And they're like, we need to protect.
Yes, they definitely
need
did.
To protect the First
when
Amendment.
When you got detained. And then two was the NFL 100 commercial was awesome.
Yeah.
There's so many like little nuggets in there. It was basically like, we should just do like a Watch the Thrones podcast just based on that. Like, oh my God, did you notice that Odell did his catch again?
Yeah, you could and break that
Saquon
down.
Saquon did the hurdle. I mean, Franco Harris came in.
The best part of that was that little one liner that Peyton Manning gave. He was so funny.
Yeah, he's so funny. And the third was my boss A-Rod in the Planters commercial.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
that was good seeing A-Rod in that commercial.
Which fun fact? We were actually supposed to be in that commercial.
That was supposed to be us, yes. And not A-Rod.
Wait,
A-Rod cucked us. Yeah,
we didn't tell you.
No, we didn't tell anybody because we're waiting to actually fly out to L.A. to film it.
Yeah, we were supposed to be in that commercial.
But
we were offered to be in that commercial, and was powers above us said no.
Yep. So that was cool.
Yeah. So, but I'm happy.
At least
I kept
A-Rod
it in the family.
Yeah.
At least I got my boss.
That's big of you.
$400 million to get his beak wet.
Spin Zone. I don't think I would have been good in that commercial because he had to reach for kale chips. Like, he was really excited to eat kale chips.
Yeah.
And I'm such an alpha that I don't think I would have been convincing.
I don't think
I wouldn't have been like.
Well, I saw.
Oh, these are good.
Did you ever see the script?
No, I didn't see the script.
That was gonna be me. The reaching. You were gonna try to stop me.
I was. Oh, nice. Yeah, that would have worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's your year of the core.
Correct,
and I'm the alpha.
I was
and I'm
gonna,
like, bro,
gonna be,
we don't eat
you were
kale
going
in this
for
house.
The kale chips.
I was going for the kale chips
okay.
in the middle.
Okay, good. Because that would have been terrible for
and
my
then,
brand.
There was one. I had one line, and that was it. There was no dialogue except that one line. And I was going to say something, and then I was going to probably change it to these pretzels are making me thirsty. Mm. And everyone would be like, damn, great callback. Florio would have loved that.
Yeah, Florio absolutely
loved it. All right.
Do we want to talk about leading the NFL in a wild goose chase?
Yes.
From the office? So we'll talk with Mr. Portnoy, our lawyer, and Dave's dad later about Dave getting arrested and the legal ramifications from all that.
So Dave got arrested
at the game. Dave got arrested at the game, and when that was going down, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start acting like I'm at the game too and see if I can get NFL security to get all hot and bothered, chase me mm-hmm. down. So me and Big Cat were sitting there like crafting tweets, stealing photos from other journalists who were at the game. And I started getting these DMs from people that were either at the game or in the press box, other journalists, saying that the NFL security was looking all over the stadium for me. It was like one of those senior prank type things where you have the three pigs and you write like 1, 2, and 4 on their side. So the school administration spends the whole time looking for pig number 3. They were looking all over the stadium for me. And we did some videos where I was in the bathroom, and then we did one last one where the camera panned over and saw Big Cat in there, and then
awesome.
We just came out to do the show. So yeah, the NFL was using lots of manpower, apparently, trying to track me down in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
No one plays into our hands better than the NFL.
They're so dumb.
Like, arresting Dave at the game was such an all-time moment, and it worked so perfectly because it was also one of the most boring Super Bowls we ever had. So it became, mm-hmm. like, if that was a shootout, he would have been arrested and everyone would have forgotten that it
right.
happened. But it basically, he got arrested and then there were 17 more punts and everyone talked about him getting arrested. And it is the hilarious visual of his skinny jeans like a dead fish. And the whole thing was so funny.
We definitely wouldn't have done anything if it was a good game. We would have been watching it. We would
right.
have like tried to piggyback on that. Yeah.
Right. And so
we're just
you.
Bored.
Thank you, Roger Goodell, for continually helping us. And I told you, but like in the moment, whenever Dave gets in legal trouble, I think people think I have like the inside word, which really I don't. Like Gaz or Frankie Borelli will text me and be like, "Hey, this is what's going on," but not like details. But I always get, I got like 600 Twitter followers in maybe 10 minutes because people thought that I was going to break some news about Dave getting arrested. It's like, mm-hmm. no, I know as much as you guys. He's in jail and his fake mustache didn't really help him. He should have gone full face paint like Putty. And you would have been fine.
Yeah.
And that would have been a hilarious way to get arrested.
Or a Mexican luchador mask.
Yes.
Like a wrestling one would have
yes.
been sick.
Okay, so we got more Super Bowl with segments and Mr. Portnoy and, I mean, a Super Bowl heavy show. We'll get to basketball and stuff
than baseball.
Well, the nice thing about the NFL is like there is no offseason for it.
Correct.
It's the petty league.
Yep.
So you're going to see lots of, you know, action going on Instagram, who they're following, who they're not following on Twitter. So yeah, it's a 365 day a year league.
So we have who's back of the week. Go Liam.
My who's back of the week is bowling.
Okay, this is off to an electric start.
Yeah. My boy Mookie Betts is known for being a beast at bowling.
Yeah, good
and
job.
And so this week was the 10th annual CP3 PBA Celebrity Invitational, and he won. He beats T.O. and Pete
Liam.
Weber.
Wow, Liam.
Wow. Okay, so
I was going to do SpongeBob, obviously. Okay? You just fucking talked about it.
I thought you were going to say Hank's Vacations. Oh, you don't want to put, that's like a producer code?
Yeah, we'll say that. We'll say it for
no,
you.
No, I actually, I can't. The only person in the room who can say it is you.
Okay. Who's back of the week is Hank's Vacation. So
I told Hank I wouldn't say it.
So Hank is on vacation at the Super Bowl right now, and he didn't get in. So.
I feel bad that he didn't get in because he kept on all week saying, he was like, oh, I'll just find a ticket. Then he found a ticket on Tuesday. Then it turned out he had to pay way too much for it. And so now I feel bad because I was kind of rooting for him to have to wait till like an hour before to figure out a ticket.
I mean, Hank's defense, how is he going to know that it was going to be expensive to buy a ticket to the Super Bowl?
He's also been to a bunch, and he just got his sixth ring.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad for Hank. He'll be back on Wednesday. Your who's back.
My who's back of the week is USA Rugby. So the USA Rugby Sevens team, check this out, right? Check this shit out.
Jesus Christ.
It was the Sydney Sevens tournament this weekend, right? Guess what? How we did. Guess how we finished.
Second.
We finished in second place for the fourth week in a row to start the season. We are the Buffalo Bills now of World Rugby Sevens, but we're also still in first place.
Hell yes, so we're second them to death.
So we're in first. If we just second them to death, a little bit of playing possum, because you don't need to burn yourself out in the finals every single week. So we're on to Las Vegas, and maybe we'll finish second there too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so shout out USA Rugby Sevens team. Also, who's back of the week is the Oakland Raiders playing in baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
So in a classic news dump, the Raiders announced that they were going to be playing their 2019 games at the Oakland A's stadium, or excuse me, at the San Francisco Giants stadium. So you will get to see the Raiders play on dirt and grass for another year.
Cool stadium, though. I love that stadium.
It is a cool stadium.
One of the best stadiums. Yeah. Also, it'd be great if a punt or a field goal went into the bay. I don't know how they'll configure
McCovey
it.
McCovey Cove.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But let's just figure out a way to have it happen.
Well, who's their punter now? They don't have Marquette King.
No.
I bet Marquette King would punt a ball into McCovey Cove as a joke.
Oh, here's something to look out for. Wind. It's going to be windy there.
It's true.
It's very windy there. No, that's true.
Yeah, you're right.
It's very, very windy.
You're right. It's a launching pad.
Look out for wind.
All right, big guy, who's your who's back?
My who's back, salty Saints fans.
Okay.
Because you watched the Rams offense put up 3 points in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I had a stat of the day that I forgot to mention.
Well, I actually think that Georgia would have done better than
the
Saints.
It's true. Atlanta United scored 3 or more goals 10 times this year in that stadium. Yikes.
So could the Rams beat Atlanta United?
Soccer more exciting than football. But if you're a Saints fan, and this is not meant to you know, stick it in and twist the knife around, but if you're a Saints fan, that is the worst possible outcome to get over the loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams going in there and beating the Patriots is way better. Them having a shootout, way better. Basically anything but what happened, because you have to sit there and say Drew Brees would not score 3 points in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
That's
brutal. Well, Taysom Hill would score more than 3 points.
Yes, yeah, so I'm sorry, Saints fans. I didn't mean to do it, but that is who's back. You have permission from me to continue all your salty behavior for another 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it the other way, too, if you're a Saints fan, and this is like justification. Like, we were the better team.
No, I don't think that's how you do it.
That's what they'll do.
I do not think that's how that works.
That's what they'll do.
I think you sit there and say,
although,
we just got
you
robbed
know what?
In the Super Bowl.
Fuck. We were almost treated, if the Rams had won, to potential tete-a-tete with Aqib Talib and Vladimir Putin, if they had done the thing meeting the Russian president.
Yep.
And then no person would have walked out of that room with any jewelry on whatsoever.
That's true.
snatch that chain. Don't wear a chain around him.
Don't wear it.
Don't wear it. All right, let's do our interviews. So we'll start off with Mr. Portnoy, which is a new one. Obviously, we're talking about his son getting arrested and all the details behind that. That one is brought to you by Cash App. So if you probably heard, PFT was detained last week.
Arrested.
Heard from a couple sponsors following PFT's recent detention and ejection from a Super Bowl 53 opening day event in Atlanta. And this is a statement from our best friends at Cash App, who always has his back. It has come to our attention that Mr. Commenter, Barstool Sports podcasting personality and Cash App partner, was involved in altercation with NFL and law enforcement officials over allegedly fake press passes on the night of January 28th. While it's against Cash App's company policy to comment on an ongoing investigation, it is our opinion that Mr. Commenter was targeted by establishment forces due to his status as a podcaster, genius, and style icon. At Cash App, we believe that sports commentary is inalienable as life, liberty, and pretending to be interested in hockey when it's the only thing on. So while we respect the NFL's authority, we stand by our belief that, like the Rams vs. Saints, this was yet another bad call. Thank you for your time, and thank you for supporting PFT Commenter. Respectfully, Cash App.
Thank you, Cash App.
Yeah, there you go. So, download the Cash App. They have his back. They have our back. We have theirs. Download the Cash App right now. Okay, here's Mr. Portnoy. Then on the other side, we'll do another break. We're going to break up each one. So we'll do a little intro, but we're going to go Dan Patrick, Mark Schlereth, Ian Rapoport, and then Ocho Cinco after Mr. Portnoy. But here's Mr. Portnoy. Okay, we had to have our lawyer and also father of a felon, maybe not a felon, and also a Patriots fan who, congrats on another Super Bowl. It is Mr. Portnoy. We had to have you on the show. What a wild night. Let's start with the game real quick. Is it true you stood for the entire game?
I did, and I had a pee the last 25 minutes, and I didn't.
What?
Whoa. And that was not easy.
Yeah. So wait, why did you stand for the entire game? Next question.
Just to relieve the tension. I don't know. Didn't you ever get involved in something like that? I mean, if you're at the game and something like this, you would be standing right after a few minutes. And I,
right.
You know, I just, it was tense.
Okay.
It was tense. I'll tell you something. I didn't hear what you folks said before, but my expert analysis of this game was I knew that the real weakness was, I thought, the Rams offense before the game started. I thought the quarterback, there was such a disparity in the quarterback position and in the coaching. I thought that was really the difference. I thought it was going to be the difference. And my wife, who was still up, would confirm that at the end of the game, I said, I have a feeling when it got close that Goff was going to make a mistake. And sure enough, he did.
Yeah.
I just,
be nice, though.
He's
our
nice,
friend.
Be nice
he
to
is our friend.
He's hurting right now.
But you're not wrong.
Friend, but he's not my friend.
No, you're not. Yeah, you're not wrong. Both defenses played great, and at the end of the day, Tom Brady made the plays he had to make, and Jared Goff wasn't able to do it.
Real quick, before we get into the legalese stuff, I wanted to ask, a while ago, one of your complaints was that Mr. Johnson sometimes got lost in your underwear, and sometimes you would dribble a little bit inside. Given the fact that you held on to your bladder for the last 25 minutes of the game, what is the status of your underwear right now? Is it soiled or is it clean?
No comment. That's a personal question.
Okay, all right. So let's get into the other news, because you are the best person to talk to, both as the father and a lawyer. I'm going to explain the backstory for anyone who's not aware, which I'm sure everyone is, but that's just a good old radio podcast host trick. Dave and PFT went to Super Bowl Media Night on Monday. They went with fake credentials. They were detained and held, and maybe some may say arrested, by the police. They were then let go, but on being let go, they were told, do not come in to the Super Bowl, to where the Hawks play, and the NFL experience, or else you will be arrested for criminal trespass. Dave, as he is someone who is very headstrong, and you said yourself in the Barstool Gold documentary, even as a kid, he just did what he wanted and put you in a mental pretzel. He said, I'm going with a fake mustache, and then at halftime was arrested, dragged out, limp-legged, knees backwards, skinny jeans. Maybe the funniest visual I've ever seen is two dead legs just dragging up up the concourse. So, as a lawyer, no, I'll ask you first, as a dad, what were you feeling?
Well, as a dad, I mean, his whole life since he's gotten involved with this whole Barstool and you people and everything, you know.
We're a bad influence on him.
No, no, that's not what I was going to say. I mean, in a million years, if you think that I ever thought that my son would, if somebody would have told me 5, 8, 10 years ago that he would be arrested at a football game when he had a legitimate ticket and was just sitting there, and was just hunted down like John Dillinger to get him out of there. I mean, it's just. You can't believe it. I mean, the whole thing is surreal. That's the word I'm looking for. Now, I got to ask you a question. I want to be clear on this because I don't know the facts. Did they just take him and say, here, open the door and say, get out?
So what I've kind of figured out from his videos is that they probably put him in the holding cell in the stadium. So, you know, most stadiums now have a holding cell. And he said in his video he was with a couple drunk people. And then as the game was ending, they just kicked him out. They just threw him out. They're like, go ahead, get out of here. And he walked out, and he had won $100,000, and the Patriots won their sixth Super Bowl. And he was a free man. And the publicity is unbelievable for us.
Oh.
But we have to ask, what's going to happen legally? Because he now just is anytime anyone tells him not to do anything – even when it's a real police officer, he just says, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. This particular situation, though, is absurd. I mean, it's absurd. It's one thing to charge somebody with criminal trespass, but then when they go, when they have a ticket sitting in the seat, I mean, it's just, it's absurd. I'm starting to think Goodell and his whole crew, he's the stupidest guy in the world. I mean, I think other people on the public stage are stupid. This guy is incredibly. How could they not realize what this was all about? The fact of the matter is, it's one thing if they would have stopped him and they saw him when he got in there, but apparently they were hunting them down during the game.
Yes.
What kind of nonsense is this? As to whether or not assuming that this went any further than they were trying to charge him with this, I think it's difficult. They just say, we warned you. Under what basis? He wasn't creating any kind of a disturbance. In other words, and I guess I realize that it's a private place. You know what I mean? It's not a government building or anything. They can tell someone, don't come. But once you let him have a ticket, I think that changes things to some extent. I suppose they would say, we give out millions of tickets or whatever. We don't keep track of everybody that actually gets a ticket. And they would say the minute he was warned, he has to pay attention to that. Mm. That's what they would say, I assume. I mean, I think as a matter of, I guess, law, they certainly, if it's their premises, they can tell anybody, we don't want you in here for any reason at all. I would assume it's a very unusual situation. I think, obviously, this is such a favor they've done for him and for Bastille. It's incomprehensible.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. Do you think that there's any possibility that they're in cahoots? Because it's almost too good for Dave. Like, it's perfect for him.
Well, I think I saw K. Michael said he was starting to think that maybe Goodell is working for Bastille.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this might be a well-kept secret. Now, when I got arrested on last Monday night, I was given the same warning that Dave was, and they said this is a criminal. They were issuing me a criminal trespass is what they said. And they said if you show your face in any of those locations, you will be arrested on site. But I was never handed any documentation.
I was just going to ask you that. That's what I'm going to ask. Yeah, you never got anything in writing saying that. It was all they just told you.
They told me that. They brought in the CEO or the operator of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and the operator of the convention center, and they were both very clear saying that I had been issued a criminal trespass. I don't know what that is, but I did not get any paperwork. I don't think Dave got any paperwork. Therefore, is this case entirely without merit? And follow-up, would Dave have an opportunity to sue the NFL for kicking him out of the game, which he paid a ticket for?
Well, if he got injured in any way, obviously that
his
was
jeans skinny ripped. Jeans. Yeah. His skinny jeans were ripped. $1,000 skinny jeans.
Those are pretty expensive.
Yes,
aren't they?
Very.
The other thing too, he wasn't exactly hiding there.
No,
doing a press conference. It's just beyond comprehension how stupid. I that to me, I just don't understand. And now they showed Goodell, and maybe you folks didn't see it. They showed him up in the box there with his minions. And then, right, like, then, of course, people were saying, well, all they're doing right now is they're strategizing what they're going to do about David Portnoy. I know what I was going to say. Can you imagine, God forbid, can you imagine if there was ever any kind of serious incident that took place?
We were
there?
Talking about that. Yeah,
and all these security people were busy. They weren't around. What were they doing? They were throwing a blog around.
Yes, yes. We were talking about it because they thought PFT was in the building, and we started tweeting about it like he was, and PFT received information that they were actually actively looking for him in the stadium. So they were using at least some resources to try to find a man who was sitting next to me the entire time in New York City.
Really, I mean, God forbid if anything, you know, monstrous happened, which in today's world we all know that it can.
Right.
And if it turned out that situation became, you know, a drastic situation, and all the security people were chasing the blogger. I mean,
right.
It's beyond comprehension. It really is.
But I'm kind of serious in that question. Like, would Dave have the opportunity to sue since he was never, like, booked or processed, and they took him out of the stadium? Like, since it was just a verbal warning that was issued, like, could this actually, could this carry on?
What you're saying is that the initial thing of telling him that, you know, if you can't come here, that to just tell, to have that all be oral and not give him a written document saying you will not be allowed in, that means tantamount that he really hasn't even been warned properly. So therefore, he was a civilian sitting in a seat. I think that's a good argument. They had no right to touch him.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah. All right. So, thank you, Mr. Portnoy. Congratulations again on both a Patriots win and also birthing like the baddest dude in the world, I guess, to some.
Well, he didn't birth him. Shot him out.
You. You helped create a guy who's such a badass. He won't listen when you tell him.
Tough.
You'll be arrested for criminal trespassing.
They're lucky nothing happened there tonight. I can tell you that. I'm talking about something serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out that the whole crew was chasing a guy in skinny jeans.
Yes, exactly. A guy who paid way too much for his skinny jeans. All right, Mr. Portnoy, thank you as always. Sleep well. Okay. It's late. Get to bed, please.
Yeah, I am.
All right.
And I'm going to go to the bathroom, too.
Yeah. All right, congrats again.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, here he is. Probably the best conversation we've had with Dan Patrick. And if you hear other voices, it's because it's the rest of the crew. So Roan, Willie Colon, Tyler, they all joined us for radio all week. So don't be alarmed. Those are them. But here is Dan Patrick.
You said Dan Patrick. We didn't get an applause.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dan Patrick, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
But seriously, what are you doing? I saw you on the list and I was like, that's not – Dan Patrick's not coming on this show.
You guys have always been good fans of ours, friendly to us, and that's rare for you guys.
Okay.
And so I, Paulie, my producer, McLovin, Seton, Fritzy, so we appreciate the partnership. And yes. So when they said, would you come over? I said, yeah. And I said, well, they have beer. And they said, yes. And I said, okay. Absolutely.
Let's do it. The Bud Light.
I like this.
We have a good symbiotic relationship. Your guys help me do illegal activities. And in turn, I do not set you on fire when you're sitting next to me in a van.
I didn't know that my guys helped you get into media.
Well, you just snitched on them, PFP.
No, I was...
Drop that.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Heavy dime.
I was with them, and I blended in with them. They did not provide
you
any material.
You don't blend in.
I don't blend in anywhere.
You do not blend
in. Yeah, maybe
in.
Like a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones music video.
But you killed it. Yeah. You killed it. You look great.
Thank you.
You
thank
do.
I lost a bet.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I bet Hank that the Chargers would beat the Patriots, and the Patriots whooped the shit out of them. So
here I am. There's a Broncos feel to you.
Yeah, Mets, Broncos.
Mets, Broncos.
All the great teams. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I didn't know where to start with that. Kevin.
Birthday boy.
It's my birthday.
It's his birthday suit.
Oh.
But I'm saying that like I'm wearing this for my birthday. I've been wearing just as ridiculous outfits all month long. So
it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look kind of like.
It's a great look, though.
Do you want to smoke a hookah with me after this? That's kind of the vibe I got. Yeah.
I think we need to take it something a little stronger than that.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. It's a different vibe. How's Super Bowl week going for you guys?
You know what? You just kind of put your head down and go, and then you kind of come up for air and you go, okay, now it's time for the game.
Yeah.
Because it feels like everybody's exchanging guests.
Yes.
So it's what you do with a guest or what we do with a guest, and then that's where you're trying to differentiate yourself.
We were saying beforehand that you had Dan Marino on this morning. We had him on right after, and whatever you did, you really put him in a bad mood because he was a jerk to us.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the fact we stuffed Dan Marino into the back of a van in a random parking lot and almost blew out his knee trying to get into it.
It was clearly
your fault.
Marino can be a tough interview.
Yep. Huh? Yep.
Because he sort of interviews the way he quarterbacks. Like, he's no nonsense.
Yes.
I get serious, and so I could understand that. But I've known Marino for 25 years. And he's still a tough interview for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're the best interviewer in the game. What do you do prep-wise for maybe a guest you don't know, so it's not Dan Marino, but you know that they might be a little difficult? Like, what are the tricks to get them to open up a little bit?
I think, well, I had not interviewed Saquon Barkley before.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was coming in, I'm just looking for something that gets a smile on his face. Like, something where he knows, all right, this is, they know about me. I think a lot of guys want to know that you did your homework on them.
Yep.
Because if you don't, where you'll say, so tell me about your rookie season. That's not a good question to ask them. But
Right. Give
me the moment when you realized I'm no longer a rookie. Then he can say, you know, after the fourth game, I was considered a veteran, not a rookie. I didn't know that. So then he started to open up a little bit more. And he looks great, sounds great, wants to do this as a living. So then I just started asking him, I want you to be an analyst here. How did the Rams win the game? And he goes, wait, you want me to do it now? I go, yeah, you're on the spot. We're on TV. Go. And then he gave me 30 seconds. I said, now that's what this is all about. Can you do this? I said, you got to get reps. It's no different than running the football. So then I was in his world, not making him come into my world.
Right.
And so he relaxed, and he was a very nice guy. Deshaun Watson the same way.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Once again in the business.
McLovin, that was a terrible, elementary, my dear Watson.
Yeah.
We actually cringed. Yeah, I'm looking right at you. Yeah. And I'm good friends with Perloff. We played basketball together back in New York. But we all looked at each other in the van. We're like, oh, come on, Perloff, please don't do that.
Well, we were trying to come up. Deshaun Watson doesn't have a nickname. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, he doesn't?
Nope.
No.
I don't think you need a nickname if your name's Deshaun.
Showtime. We'll get Pat Mahomes.
Nah, you need a
turn
nickname.
No, Deshaun Deshaun's a great name.
I think elementary.
If you're a mobile quarterback
Watson.
In Texas, you need a nickname.
Yeah.
Like he said, you know, I'm DW4.
That's weird.
No,
and then I said, that's too close to D Ford.
Yeah.
Who screwed up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you don't want that.
Or like, remember when Paul George wanted to be PG-13? I was like, come on,
he's playoff P.
Like, what are you doing?
Now and forever.
This is weird.
DW4
that's a lot better than playoff P.
Yeah, playoff P who never shows up in the playoffs. Yeah. It's a tough luck.
But his names are earned, so he has to win a little
bit more. Yeah, he can't give himself a nickname.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So that's part of the problem. Somebody in Texas got to come up with a better nickname.
I feel like John McClain is the guy that hands out nicknames to people in Houston.
In Houston?
Right? He's the man, the judge.
I just think Deshaun is such a cool name that you don't really need something extra. Not everyone has a nickname.
You need one if you're a mobile quarterback in Texas playing with J.J. Watt. That whole defense, you got to stand out like you are a sideshow to that.
How about never going to win a Super Bowl?
How about
Texans?
The Big Cat
franchise.
The Big Cat pinky guillotine.
Yeah, I bet my pinky this year when the Texans were 0-3, I said I'd cut off the tip of my pinky if the Texans won the Super Bowl. And then they went on to win like nine in a row. Uh-huh. But I never was really worried because that's a franchise.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't see it. No, I wasn't. Yeah. I said I'd be worried if they got the bye, and they didn't get the bye.
But nobody talked about that 9-game winning streak.
No.
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 They were like, oh, yeah, by the way, Texans won again. They won 9 in a row. If that would have been somebody else, then we would have gone, oh, my God. Hey,
they're
Texans
coming.
Going.
Yeah.
Hey, whoa.
They're starting to have that Cincinnati Bengals mystique. Well, you know they're good enough. They get in, but you really don't believe it.
The Saturday afternoon ESPN game.
That's right.
That's what they're just pencil them in for it every year.
As I said, they played at 4. If they could have played them at 1, they would have played them at 1.
Yes.
On that wild card weekend.
Yes.
It's just like this game isn't going to be any good. Let's just get it over with, and then we're going to move on to the nightcap.
Yes. Do you? So this year, this is the first year that you didn't do Football Night America?
Yes.
Did you miss it?
No.
Really?
No tears?
No. I missed you.
No. I appreciate
I
that.
That's an interviewing trick you can pick up. You just compliment the guest.
And I almost believed
it. An insane amount. Yeah. Didn't even notice you were gone. Notice I said, is this the first year? Was it last year?
I have people who still think I work at ESPN.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
They're like, I love you on Sports. Yeah, right. I haven't been there in 11 years. But thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't miss it because I was able to just watch as a fan. And it's been such a long, you know, sometimes you forget about it. You know, when you do it for a living, you forget to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't root for any team. People always go, who are you rooting for? Give me a great game. I couldn't care less.
Really? Yes. That's the most journalist you ever be.
But that's all because I grew up a Bengal fan. Ooh, and if you say, hey, you know, I'm a Bengal fan, if I say something about the Steelers, then you go, well, he's a Bengal fan.
Right.
So I just disavow any knowledge of any teams. I just root for a storyline.
I like that. Now, when you were working on Football Night America, were you aware of the Collinsworth slide-in that they used to do?
No, because I didn't think it was a slide-in. I just thought they opened the camera up.
Yeah,
so
it is.
It gave the appearance of a slide-in.
There is a little bit of a slide, too. He moves a little.
He leans into it.
I'll do an impression, okay?
Okay.
You're Al Michaels.
So I'm Al Michaels. And welcome to Sunday Night Football.
There it is.
No, it's not like that.
No, you didn't even see it. I did the lip bite, too.
The smug face, yeah.
That's right, Al.
Well, he
love those teenage girls, Al.
He is a tall guy, so there is this elasticity where he can sort of lean in like that. I just think they opened up, you know, they opened up the camera and gave the appearance he was sliding.
It always looks like Shaq getting in a yellow cab.
What about the Carrie Underwood song? Are you more of a fan of the one from last year when it was Waiting All Day for Sunday Night, or this year where it's, I forget, what was the one this year? Game On!
Yeah, it's
Game
Sunday
On.
Night.
It's Sunday night.
These are the things we really think about.
Yeah.
I don't know the song.
Okay.
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
You haven't been out of the game of working on Sundays long enough. These are the things, like in 2 or 3 years, you will notice if they change the song. Uh-huh. What the hell? They changed the song on me?
Okay, I didn't realize that remember the NBA on NBC?
Yes.
Yes.
Round ball rock.
John Tesh.
By John Tesh.
Yeah.
Fox uses that for their college basketball.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can, because the song is so good, it needs to be out there in the world.
It went in public domain, so
No. But it was
like Beethoven.
It's on Fox basketball.
Listen, I agree that when that song hits, you're thinking it's going to be Michael Jordan versus Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
But
I can't have Butler versus Xavier. And
oh, that doesn't get the juices flowing?
No.
You don't bet enough.
No.
That gets the juices going.
No.
Do you gamble on sports?
I used to.
What do you have a problem? You had to stop.
Oh, yeah. You used to gamble with Pete Rose.
I used his bookie.
Yes, that's the story. I knew I'd get you there.
So when the whole Pete Rose thing came out, I knew his bookie.
Yeah.
So it wasn't one of those, do you think Pete bet?
Yeah, right. No,
I know he did.
Yeah.
I know he did.
I know. Yeah, we both lost. But my bookie would tell me that, you know, Pete bet on everything. And then, you know, so when this happened, when this story broke, I called my bookie, my former bookie, because I stopped betting. And I said, you know, what can you tell me? He said, no name. And his name never came out.
Mm-hmm.
Never came out in all of this. And so I said, what do you got on Pete? And he said, all right, well, I can tell you some of the stuff that he bet on. And he started telling me, I said, did he bet on the Reds? And he said he bet on games with the Reds.
Hmm.
And I said, did he bet against the Reds? And he said, I don't want to say that.
So that's a yes.
Wow.
So I don't want to say
a hard yes.
Yes.
So then years later, I have him on the show, and Pete said, I bet on the Reds every night to win. It never come out before. And he says, I bet on the Reds every night to win. So even if you bet on your team that you're managing, you can still manipulate a lineup.
Yeah, of course.
I can bring in John Franco. John, I know your arm's tired, but I'd rather you came in than this guy.
Right.
Or a starting pitcher. There was one starting pitcher that he didn't bet on, I was told.
Okay.
Like he wouldn't bet on his own pitcher.
Right, right. Yeah. Or you could just say, we're going to gas out the bullpen today,
yeah,
right. And
exactly.
Tomorrow I won't bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did bet through the same guy that Pete did.
It will be interesting to see how Major League Baseball responds to embracing gambling and embracing the legalization of gambling, yeah, while still pushing Pete Rose away.
Well, it's like marijuana laws.
Right.
You know, now all of a sudden you got to vacate a lot of these sentences because mm-hmm. what are you in for? Marijuana.
Right.
Like
that's legal now.
Yeah.
Not to sell them in food trucks.
Right. Yeah. Right. And states where guys are playing and marijuana is legal. Yeah. I mean, why? Although the NFL's drug testing, it's really just a stupidity test.
It's really if you miss practice or not.
Right.
They're going to test you.
Right.
That's how you say it.
Because it's just once a year.
Yeah.
And you know it's coming. And if you screw it up, you deserve to get caught.
If you get caught, that means you really let your hands off the wheel.
Right.
I mean, like a lot of guys I know who hit it, if you will. They were very calculated. They knew, like, all right, this is showtime. Let me clean up. And then once they got pissed, they were off and running to Rainbow Land. So
right.
It was you got to be a dumbass.
But if I play for the Broncos, why can't I smoke pot
right
in Colorado?
Right,
because it's PED, Dan.
But it's especially all we know about the opioids.
It's a PED. If you're an offensive lineman and you get high, you eat a shitload of food, you get heavier.
Well, I'll tell you this. Listen, I know a lot of guys.
Yeah.
This is when he answers.
Yeah.
Yes, Willie.
But besides the munchies, I know for me, I couldn't sleep. So if it was Baltimore week, and listen, I got Ray Lewis, and I got Haloti Ngata, and Ed Reed. I got I'm one of the baddest defenses of all the land, and we're trying to win a division title. I got anxiety a little bit. I'm anxious. I'm not picking up the phone. I'm worried about my assignment. You know what's going to help me sleep so I can get proper sleep to do my job?
Did you smoke before a game?
Breaking news?
Yeah, Dan Patrick just got me.
I've seen playmakers.
That's an interview.
Kat, I want to get credit for this. Yes. Not Barstool.
You can get that
but for
credit.
For me, I didn't like taking Ambien. I didn't like opioids. I didn't like none of that stuff. The only thing that got me to level out and get some sleep, and because my knees were shot, was joint.
What about you, Dan? Do you ever have like interview anxiety? Maybe the night before a big guest is coming on, can't sleep.
You got to get inside of a van.
Eat a brownie.
Maybe get burned alive.
Yeah. I smoke that hot leaf.
Tried to burn them.
I hated pot.
Really?
Like I don't like being.
Sounds like a pothead would say.
No, I just like.
You hated bad pot.
Or cop. Yeah.
Maybe
I hated
that
wacky tobacco.
Yeah, because it was ragweed when I was.
Yeah, that's true.
Like it was called ragweed.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a big pothead fucker.
Yeah.
You know, I went on a vacation with my wife, and the next week I was starting at ESPN. Mm. So we're in Negril, and we go to a place called Mary's Special Cakes.
Okay.
I've been there.
So it's a little shack. It's a little shack. Now, Rick's Cafe is down the block where you jump off the cliff. And, you know, so my wife and I, we go in there, and we were told, oh, you got to get one of Mary's Special Cakes. So we walk in, and I said, two special cakes. Well, the special cakes are really large brownies.
Yes.
So we have little Vespas, little motor scooters. I'm drinking, and, you know, I'm eating the brownie. Next thing I know, I'm in trouble on the brown, you know, with this on the Vespa.
Yeah.
I pull over and I get up on the cliff there. I jump off, like my wife's going, what the fuck are you doing? I'm jumping off the cliff. I go back, it just dawns on me. So I'm coming back 2 days. I have to take my drug test to start ESPN.
Oh.
So I have to go to the local hospital and I'm
get a bag of piss from somebody.
No, yeah. That's Bob Lee. I got Bob Lee's.
Yep,
Bob Lee's piss.
He had clean piss.
Yeah, he did.
You Bob had a like Ontario.
Yeah,
sweet apple juice. Yep.
You had like a prosthetic black penis that you were.
And I, it wasn't prosthetic. And so I said, okay, I may fail this drug test and not get hired at ESPN. I never. The guy I was with, Danny, another guy named Dan, he wanted to be a custodian. And he said he had smoked pot a couple of days earlier. He didn't get hired.
Oh.
And I somehow got hired. I know I failed that.
Yeah, you must have just, they've been like, you know what? He's talented enough.
I mean, the Mary special cake was like a brick.
Yeah. It's not your fault. You're on vacation.
Yes. Yeah, it's Mary's fault, not mine.
Yeah, if that was the case, like Bill Walton would never have worked a day at ESPN.
There's no way they tested Bill Walton.
I have breaking news, by the way.
I mean, I'm testing for a lot of things.
Yeah. I have breaking news.
Okay.
We have a Ryan brother back in our life.
Ooh.
Rob Ryan has been hired as the linebackers coach for the Washington Redskins.
Let's go.
So that is huge.
Wait, so we got Rob and Jim Tomsula coaching the defense.
Yes.
That is my
important thing.
Dan Snyder tries.
This is huge news.
Dan Snyder tries so hard every year to make me never root for the Redskins again, and somehow they find a way to bring me back every offseason.
You know what's interesting about that? I had saw Rex Ryan a couple weeks ago. He was telling me about Rob possibly joining the Bears.
Yes.
But they're not head coaches. Like, Rex is not a head coach.
Right now, technically, you're right.
It's hard.
No, he's not. No, and he shouldn't.
Come on.
Have
again?
No.
Let's just get wild.
College?
What?
College? Possibly college?
No, Rob is not.
I don't think
college. No, you can't. No. And like Jim Tomsula, I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's not head.
Be careful.
No, he's not.
Rapport gave Jim Tomsula like a 20% chance of getting a head coaching job again.
Because
someone would get fired and he would become
the interim. There are certain guys who were just assistant coaches.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's nothing wrong with staying an assistant coach.
Right.
Like Leo Mazzoni was a great pitching coach. He wasn't going to be a great manager.
Yeah.
There's just certain guys that's as good as you get.
Basically anyone under Belichick.
Huh?
Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Wade Phillips is better as a defensive coordinator.
Every Belichick disciple.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's the problem. You go, oh, he'd make a great head coach. No. No, you're good at this.
Right.
That doesn't mean Matt Patricia, just because you're good at being a defensive coordinator doesn't mean you can be a head coach.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though if Belichick was Belichick now as a defensive coordinator, he wouldn't get hired as a head coach. Because you'd look at him and go, how's he going to win, you know, that if he goes into a press conference?
Yeah.
Because
although Vic Fangio is kind of the old mold and he gets hired at Denver.
I was surprised at that.
I was too.
I
think that's more just his defense speaks for itself. And he, you know, the Bears obviously had the best defense in the league this year. But what he did the 2 years prior without Khalil Mack, where he had no one and they were playing way above their level. I think that's what people saw in Harbaugh. If you talk to anyone who was on the 49ers during that run, you say Vic Fangio was the biggest reason for that success.
But you don't have to make them a head coach.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It is true.
You put them in a position where you all of a sudden you go, oh, my God. I got to go to fundraisers or, you know, I got to go over here. I got to, you know, instead of just saying, hey, I get to be in my own little room. You know, devising a game plan.
Don't have to talk to the media.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're right. There is that feeling that it's just the natural ladder of life. And sometimes you should just stop where you're at.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and do, you know, it's kind of what Clemson has going right now. If you talk to any of those guys Dabo's got, Brent Venables should be a head coach. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I love it here.
Yeah.
I get paid $2 million a year. That probably helps.
But you could be a great be a great producer in TV. That doesn't mean you get to be an anchor.
Right.
You're just a great producer.
But doesn't it say more to at least get the nod to be one? Because I feel like if you're a great DC or a great OC and you've never been able to at least get an interview, doesn't that speak against you?
I think that we would view that in today's, you know, in today's sports world, you go, oh, man, not good enough to get that.
Right. Yeah.
But I there's part of me that would go, no, I know what I do well. Now, our ego says I want to be a head coach. But Charlie Weiss was not a head coach.
Right. Yeah.
Romeo Crennel, not a head coach. Vrabel might be. You know, I like his style.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just think there are times when you go, certain guys are meant to be a head coach, certain guys are not.
What about Condoleezza Rice?
Head coach.
Yes. Head coach. Big time.
Yeah, yeah. She could have been.
Have you ever had that moment in your career where it was the next step and you said, nope, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
I knew, like when I hosted the Olympics, I realized I was going into territory that I wasn't as good as Costas was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wanted to do it. I wasn't able to headline NBC, I think, as an Olympic host in my mind. I had doubts about my talents to do that. But I watched Bob do it, and I realized he there's certain things that he does better than me.
Get pink eye.
And
mm-hmm.
very good.
Yeah.
But it was only one eye.
Yeah.
Now, that's yeah. when he got pink eyes.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I could aspire to pink eye. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he was there are certain things where I went, I don't think I'd be good at that.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. Even when I started working at SportsCenter, when Berman, my first show was with Berman, and I wondered if I could keep up the energy of doing an hour live mm-hmm. show. And Berman was the master at that. And, you know, I eventually grew into it, but I had my doubts when I first started.
You ever wish you tried play-by-play?
I tried play-by-play. Thanks for listening.
Yep.
And
I wanted you to plug your play-by-play.
No, there's no reason to plug it.
Yeah.
I realized I couldn't be what I wanted to hear,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up
it's like being in a shower.
You know, I was listening to great guys, and I instead of realizing not everybody can be Al Michaels or, you know, I grew up with Marty Brenneman, who's a Hall of Fame baseball now, or, you know, Jack Buck, or throw out all the great names. I was comparing myself to those guys after doing four games. And, you know, it was stupid to do that, but I couldn't capture a game that I thought would be interesting for me to watch or listen.
But you do have the big game voice. You know the guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're – I don't want to knock anyone, but there are certain guys who do play-by-play, and you turn it on, and it just – feels like it should be, you know, 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. A little thin.
Yeah, not Saturday night at 8 p.m. You have that voice, though. You have the big game voice.
But you got to capture. There's a certain quality of in the moment, capturing the moment, compartmentalizing it. And the guys who do it well, they make it look and sound easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what my limitations are. It took a while because everybody gets full of themselves and says, I can do that. I got humbled, I think, a couple of times, and then it makes you take a couple of steps back and say, you know what, on second thought, mm-hmm. I'm not that.
And you got not a bad gig that you got going on.
No,
right
no.
Now. You hang out with your friends in your pajamas and get to interview everyone in, 5 minutes from your house?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's a mile bad. From my house.
That's pretty good.
And above the bar I go
that's
to.
The dream right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, it would be like Barstool.
Yeah.
Like that. If you
we would put on pants.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I wear sweatpants, Dan.
Yeah,
no, I don't wear pajamas. Okay.
Yeah,
I have worn pajamas.
Yeah, I think we saw you.
But that's
you
okay.
Yeah,
like the part of the beauty is that you're showing a radio show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a TV show that's on radio. So when you see us, we don't wear makeup. You know, we don't have a stylist. I just say just show up. I don't care what you wear. It's the content that you give the audience is what's key. I want you to see and go, God, those guys, they look messy or they don't have their act together.
Well,
I just saw butt crack.
It is what it, yeah, no, that's why, I mean, that's the appeal. I don't work from home anymore, so I'm not able to watch as much as I used to, but I used to have it on every single day because it feels like you're hanging out with your friends and you guys all get along, and even when you get mad at Fritzy, I remember that one time got really awkward. That was weird.
Well,
it was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
He stood up to me.
Yeah. And there was real tension
know,
in the room.
I know.
There was real tension.
But we used to do the show out of my attic. So when we first started out, we didn't have any money. And so the Danettes would come to my house, go up the back stairs. We converted 2 bedrooms, and we built our studio.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife would be there in her bathrobe cooking breakfast. I have 4 kids, you know, getting them out of the house, yelling, screaming, animals all over the place. And they would go up, and we'd do a national radio show.
That's incredible.
And then, you know, where I live, they said, you can't run a business out of your house. So we had to move. And then Paulie and I, my producer, we went to the local bar. And the guy who owned the bar said, I got space upstairs. And we went up there, and it looked like a Stephen King, setting for a Stephen King movie.
Mm-hmm.
And including a mannequin that we never knew. And the guy named Jeff, who died there, but... We don't know anything about Jeff.
He died in the
he
house.
Died. Yeah.
The sixth member of the show.
G-E-O-F-L.
Oh, he deserved
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
He deserved
yeah.
it. No offense, yeah. no offense to anyone who spells it that way, but yeah.
No,
asshole.
No offense. Yeah. No, yeah. no, yeah. there should be a offense.
Your parents are assholes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. G-off
yeah.
got off. And so we went up there. We had 3 months to create that man cave.
Go ahead, PFD.
I was going to – I've always wondered watching this show how much flannel – do you think Paulie goes through in a year? Does he have like a closet full of stuff, or does he buy new ones?
He Oh boy, he loves flannel.
He really does.
Like he does.
He's like an American Eagle catalog.
He loves flannel.
Yeah.
Really kind of scary that he, and he'll take pictures of flannel. You know, you might take pictures of your kids or, you know, vacation sites or cars. Or Paulie will show you if he got flannel.
Yeah. Flannel and tailgates.
Oh, he loves
take pictures of those.
But if you put the flannel with the tailgate.
Oh, now we're in heaven.
Got a fetish, yeah.
Now we're in heaven. And it also has to be the shittiest football game possible.
Yeah, yeah. But it's
like Division Four, which doesn't exist.
It's
Paulie's there.
Yeah, Iona.
Yeah.
Tailgating the Iona game again.
Paulie is there.
Boner jams when he's able.
Boner dogs.
Boner dogs, Dan.
You're talking about the Adam Sandler movie we created that we pitched.
No.
Boner dogs.
You don't remember Boner dogs?
How do you forget boner dogs?
I'm trying to forget the whole van.
No.
I
there's one thing you have to remember. It's boner dogs.
I thought it was boner jam.
No, boner dogs is the movie you have to pick Adam Sandler when you see him next.
With Rob Schneider.
Chris Rock.
Kevin Farley.
Kevin James.
Kevin James.
No, Kevin Farley.
And Kevin Farley.
Chris Farley's younger brother.
Yeah, that's true.
He gives him a piece every now and then.
You know what? I never proposed that to Sandler.
Okay, can you do it?
Boner dogs.
We've got a bunch of people who are actually interested in that.
Really? Kevin Hart's he's attached.
Yes, easily. Kevin Hart. He wanted to hear more when we started talking about boner.
Okay,
Lawrence Taylor.
What is a boner dog?
Well, the story it's kind of like a mix of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Hansel and Gretel. You've got a sled dog team, and the lead dog has a boner. They all make fun of him because he's got this red rocket lipstick hanging out. And they go off into the woods. They get lost on a rescue mission, and the only way that they can get back is by following the trail that was left by the boner.
The
in
boner
the snow.
Trail. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The boner's the voice of the boner is Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
And David Spade, I think, plays the nut sack.
Yep. Okay. And then Rob Schneider's the dog who owns the boner.
Yes.
Okay. Who plays the boner dog?
Will Ferrell. The dog. Will Ferrell plays the boner.
Boner. Yes.
Oh, a voice. Voice.
Rob Schneider plays the dog. So there's.
Where's Sandler?
He's producing. He's
he's the guy. Yeah, he's the owner. He's mush. The sled mush guy. Yeah.
And then
exactly.
I have a cameo in all of his sandwiches.
Correct. Yes.
So what am I doing?
You can be the
fluffer.
I'm the fluffer.
No, yeah.
I was going to say the flaccid penis of the number two dog.
Don't have to be in a movie to do that.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The next interview that you're going to hear is with Mark Schlereth, recurring guest. I surprised him during this interview. I had my mom text me a photo of my Little League baseball team that he was my coach of. So this was back in probably like 1996. He was I was about 11 years old. He didn't remember me because it wasn't very good. But yeah, kind of surprised him with that. It was a cool interview. Great catching up with Stink. So here he is, Mark Schlereth.
I've got a little surprise here for you.
Do you know?
If you don't mind. So I think I may have told you this at one point, but you were my Little League baseball coach.
Really?
That's how unimpressive of an athlete I was at the age of 11, is you don't remember me. on the Marlins, see, there you are right here. We'll put this up maybe online. There's you, and there's me, looking like a clean-cut son of a bitch.
Is this real? Were you really his coach?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
How about that, huh?
That is unreal. You're the kid that we used to make sit in right field, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. I was shortstop.
Picking daisies.
Picking daisies.
I was shortstop. I won the batathon that year. Remember the batathon?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Beat the whole league.
This is unbelievable. So you played. There's my boy, Daniel.
There's Daniel.
You played
the Marlins.
Major
League.
So Daniel and I were about the same talent level at pitching when I was 11.
There we go.
And then he grew a lot and became a major league pitcher.
It's still time for
that. That is unreal.
Pretty crazy.
He was on the Mark Schlereth diet of meat and lifting.
Now, I bring this up for another reason. And that's, you're not a big participation trophy guy, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we came in second place in the league that year. And the first place team got a nice trophy. It was actually a game that lasted for 2 days because rain delayed it halfway through.
Okay.
The team that beat us, they got a nice trophy. You were like, you know what? You guys played so well. that I'm going to get you a trophy. And you gave a, you guys bought us trophies that were bigger
than the first
place trophy.
Yeah, for coming
in second.
That's right. That's right. I do,
do you remember that now. Do you think you participated in the pussification of America by doing that?
No. You know what I did? I was trying to lift you up because you were so bad.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the last time this kid will ever play sports. I want him to have something nice on
the way out. Mm. He gave you confidence to go to carry about your the rest of your life.
Not enough to keep playing sports, but
right.
I also don't think it's participation trophy because it was pre-participation trophy.
Was it?
Yeah. I feel like participation trophy culture didn't come into play until like the last 10 years.
That could have been the first one, though.
Right.
That
could have been.
You could have started it with you might have patient zero.
It's not a participation trophy because it was bigger than the first place trophy.
It's true.
So we guys basically said, "Hey, first place team, up yours.
Yeah, you're winning.
We're better than you.
Yeah, we were better than. Yeah, like talent wise, like we had much deeper starting rotation. Like I was number 4. Daniel was number 5. We were pretty good.
Right. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. We are going to play the interview from Tuesday at the Super Bowl with In Rapport.
It's us guessing the coaches going forward, so we want this on the record. What chance coaches will get hired?
Mm-hmm. It, maybe Jeff Fisher was tossed in there?
50%.
You'll have to listen to find out.
Yeah. All right, we're going to finish up with this. I have three coaches I want to ask if they will get another head coaching job in the NFL. Jeff Fisher.
Nope.
No chance.
No chance.
Put a percentage so that there's at least a chance.
Got it. Zero.
Fuck. God damn it. All right. Rex Ryan.
Probably not zero because he really was a pretty good, more than decent coach. I would say like 10%.
But 10%?
Okay. And I think he tried to get in this year as a defensive coordinator and couldn't make it happen.
Okay. Jim Tomsula.
I would say 2%.
Okay.
My hope.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's on his staff. That person gets fired. He takes over his interim because he's done it. Leads him on a dramatic something.
Yep.
And he is a charismatic man.
Yeah.
So I could see it.
Yeah.
So maybe I would say 7%.
I got one more. Greg Schiano.
Good question.
Actually, is a good question.
Yeah.
I would say like 20%.
Oh,
I'm probably an idiot for a lot of reasons, but I think he would be a good coach. He got screwed by the Josh Freeman situation.
Yep.
Like 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whenever that was. I still think he would do a good job. So maybe if he's Patriots defensive coordinator this year, kind of.
Last one, okay. Hugh Jackson.
3%.
Okay. That's
so there's a chance.
I would like Hugh Jackson back in my life. There's some jokes, there's some unfinished business.
Should get him on Hugh Jackson as a guest.
We said some really mean things about him, but we could.
I don't know. He said some mean things about players, and he still
coaches. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's a good point. True. That's a good point. All right, Ian, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Okay, last one up, Ocho Cinco. He came in, and let's just say it was insane because he told a story about a threesome, and there's a plot twist. Not going to ruin it. Here it is. Ocho Cinco. Ocho
Cinco. Ocho Cinco. A really underreported facet of this story is Roger Stone, like 10 years ago, they found a profile for him online, and him and his wife, let's just say he likes to invite other gentlemen to be with his wife.
There's a lot of
while
fucking.
He watches.
Hey, that, and, listen,
yep.
I used to do that in college.
With Roger's wife?
No, not Roger's wife. Just in general.
Oh.
Like for
you'd have girls, or you'd have a guy come over, man, and have
Corvallis is a real hot spot for orgies.
No, this is Santa Monica.
Listen, for billionaire men that couldn't satisfy their wives, you know, they would just use me.
The cuck. You were a cuck for hire.
Like a pinch hitter.
Yes.
You would just come in and...
Only billionaires, though. Dude, you know how much I made in 1997 as a freshman in college?
Tell us, how much did you make in 1997 as a freshman in college?
A lot of money. So do you think can you still play?
Right now?
I feel like you're one of those guys who's like, any second, call me up.
Probably. I mean, the fact I think I could play maybe third downs. Since I retired, I've been playing semi-pro soccer the entire time, so I haven't stopped running yet. So physically, I could probably do it. I probably can't take the punishment of an every down receiver.
Right.
Third downs, yeah.
And you've got a pretty good, you've got a good leg on you, right? Like, I remember you kicking, you did a kickoff and you made an extra field, point.
Yeah.
How far could
I'm
you
good from 60 right 60? Now, still.
No shit.
And
really?
The Bears need a kicker.
They do. Yes, they do.
Come back.
Yeah, let's
yeah.
do it.
I mean, it's not going to happen.
Do it.
Ocho Cinco would be that perfect. Attitude. That's the 85, like, Chicago loves the 85 Bears.
Yeah, yeah there
the
you
Ocho
go.
Ocho Cinco Bears.
Everybody. You know what? I have a friend of mine here. I don't know if you, where's Will?
There's Will.
Can everybody say hello to Will?
What's up, Will?
That's my guy, Will.
Is his birthday or something?
Huh?
Is his birthday?
No.
He's just a cool guy.
Will and I, Will and I in college, we had a threesome.
Oh!
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we get a mic to Will?
Yeah.
Who was the lucky Pierre?
Listen, this is like...
I got to ask Will a question.
I don't know how many years ago this was.
In Corvallis or the... Oh. All right, so we got a mic to Will. Hold on. We're getting it into the crowd. Do you always roll with guys that you've
No, actually, I came
with?
Alone. It just so happened he's here. I haven't seen him in years. I'm like, what?
Will. Will.
Chad, remember that night?
Hey, I remember that night. How can I forget it?
Will, who?
Last time
Will, who?
We were throwing back tequila.
Who came first, Will?
That's between Chad and I.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it was you.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Good talking to you, Will. That's a wild one.
Yeah.
You
thanks,
just
guys.
Walked into this bar right now and saw, hey,
yeah, when I walked
remember
in, like,
when we fucked together?
Yeah.
Was that like, the last Will, time you saw dude. Each other? Like,
yeah, it was. It was like a merry-go-round. Yeah. You know how you switch?
Yeah.
You ever did? No?
No.
Wait. My bad. Fuck it.
No, walk us through it. Yeah. Walk us through the
tell us how it all goes rookies. Down.
I just like it happens in the movies.
Yeah. Right.
Like wild things, or like you're in a pool with a girl and Will, and you kiss her, and then you kiss Will?
No. Like, you ever played Marco? We started out like Marco Polo.
Oh, okay.
Like you would get the blindfold on, like Bird
no,
Box.
I mean no, it was dark.
Okay,
yeah, it was.
All right, I can't listen.
I know how do you get it?
Not the
how
place
do you get
it?
You, I mean, you brought
this
up orgies.
Not the place for that.
You brought hey. Up cocaine and orgies. So.
Okay, let's get to some segments. Wild move to have the guy you had a threesome with be in the crowd.
Yeah,
that was a story that Ocho Cinco told. If you skipped it, bad on shame on you.
I feel like if you have a threesome buddy, you have to roll with them almost everywhere you go because you're not sure if that guy's gonna talk about the threesome
right.
with other people when you're not around.
You don't
you always
got
to keep eyes on him.
You don't want him telling people that you came first
mm-hmm.
when he's not around, so you can't like back yourself up.
Isn't
even though you probably did come first.
Isn't it almost better to come first though?
Well, so you can come again.
Well, so you can get your twofer in.
Yeah.
Or so you don't have to worry about, like, you know, the mess.
I see. I have a feeling a threesome, I would just, it would be, like, 60 seconds. Like, okay, guys,
yeah,
I'm going to
really
go watch
enjoy
the rest
that.
Of the game.
Yeah. Once you make eye
you
contact
make
with
it,
the other guy, you
hey,
just,
there's two.
Boom.
There's two now. So you more than enough
mm-hmm.
to finish this
yeah, you get
without
the,
me.
Yeah, you get, once you're done with your nut,
yeah.
you get the nice spot on the bed.
Yeah, it's like
you, you get to spread out a little bit until the two of them are done and
right.
they have to fight for the corner.
It's like playing, it's like a three-way catch when you're warming up. It's like, mm-hmm. you don't need me here anymore.
Yeah, my arm's loose.
You guys are fine. All right, so segments, first up, let's do sabermetrics with Gronk. Let's put in this audio.
So my friends and I, we were chilling, and I only played half the season the year we got number two. So we were hanging out, and we all decided I have 1.5 rings because I only played half that season. That one, the time we won it the second time. And they said that rounds down for some reason to one. And they said if I get 2 rings, that means I get another ring, I'll have 2.5, and that rounds up to 3, baby. So
there you go.
I got 3 rings now, baby.
There you
woo!
Go.
I mean, I've never been...
So if Gronk had lost that Super Bowl, he'd still have 1 Super Bowl ring, but winning that Super Bowl means he has 3. So Rob Gronkowski is the first player ever to win 2 Super Bowls in one single night.
It's pretty impressive. And I agree with this math.
Yeah, I do
so here's why. If you weigh 150 pounds, you can't be like, I basically weigh 200 pounds, right? That's a huge difference.
Right.
But if you weigh 250 pounds, you can say, I'm pretty much 300 pounds, and everybody would be like, yeah, you definitely look like you weigh 300 pounds.
Okay. So, like, for instance, if you – all right, no, I actually agree with what you're saying now.
Yeah.
It's like if you're 5'6",
yeah.
you go around telling people that you're 5'8", but no one really believes you.
Right.
But if you're 5'11", you are basically 6 feet.
Yeah, or 6'1", even.
Yeah,
yeah
6'1".
Yeah, you can get
right, right.
Changes.
I got
yeah.
you. I got you.
I think we
makes
broke
sense.
That down
yeah,
pretty
easily.
Yeah,
we got it.
Yeah.
We got it. We have next up – put one in his ear hole. This one I'm passionate about, PFT, so maybe let me know if I get a little too personal here.
Okay.
I'm going to take it slow.
Well, okay.
Darren Ravel tweeted, "Harder to Breathe cashes at 9-1 for first song. Went to the rehearsal and kept it quiet for my degenerate colleagues."
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate that, Darren.
Okay.
Well, so the worst part about this, in my opinion, is that he tweeted it out after the fact to just let everybody know that he didn't give them free money.
Then he wanted everyone to know that he knew but wasn't going to tell them.
Yes. If you had that information and kept it to yourself, that's questionable, but maybe something that a lot of us might do. But then to rub it in everybody's face is world-class douchebaggery.
And here's my biggest problem. I like Ravel-ish.
Do you?
Yeah. Some things about Ravel I actually like. I actually find some of his ridiculous like tweets funny or informative.
Fascinating. Fascinating. I am fascinated with Darren Ravel like a scientist is fascinated with a mouse that he's experimenting
on. When he got the perfect deck picking the cards from like 1982.
Yeah.
That was actually entertaining. Some things that Darren Ravel provides to this world, I'm in for. The problem is he works for a gambling company now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like kind of being like, oh yeah, I'm part of the degenerate crew now. Anyone who's ever gambled in their life, who has a gambling addiction, who enjoys gambling, whatever it may be, if you have a hot tip and you don't tell your friends, you're the biggest fucking asshole in the world. Because guess what, Darren? We also knew that was going to be the first song. And guess what? We told our friends.
Yes.
And our friends told us. And that's how we knew.
Mm-hmm.
We knew, not because we knew. We knew because someone else told us.
Yep.
And, of course, we're going to tweet it because then it actually nulls the whole bet.
Well, that and also...
Like, it actually says if it becomes public information, the bet is null and void. So
right.
We can't... Something we can't tweet.
And also,
but
since...
it's someone I told my friends.
And also, since we heard it from somebody that had a source, we weren't going to tell people to bet on it because we weren't 100% sure.
Right.
But we felt good about it.
Right.
And we didn't even get the 9-1.
No.
We got just the field, the rest of the
right.
song.
Yeah, right. So, like, this exact scenario happened, and we told our friends, and you sat there and told no one, and then told the world that you knew and didn't tell your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking dickhead move, man.
Mm-hmm. This is the classic example of reminding your teacher that they didn't assign homework, but also reminding your teacher that everybody owes money for the field trip that's in 2 weeks and they haven't paid yet.
I'm mad.
I'm mad, too.
I'm mad. And if I were one of his colleagues, I'd be real mad.
Oh, if yeah. Well,
look, you know what?
Does Darren really have gambling buddies?
Well, I think he calls like anyone he knows, like even for a brief second, his buddy. Like he and Kobe are buddies.
Yeah,
yeah. Here's
sure
another
Kobe
one.
Kobe feels the
Here's
same
another
way.
Perfect example. I knew from a tip, which was inside my brain, that it was going to be tails.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the whole world.
We did. We screamed.
I told the whole world that it was going to be tails tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
It was tails.
By the way, that was such an electric coin flip.
It was great.
It was so high. The height was awesome.
Hot seat Donald Trump's coin flip from the Army-Navy game. This one just cucked the shit out of me.
Oh, so good.
If you want to count the rotations in that flip, there were probably like 20 rotations. It looked like a nice, like a spinning disco ball up
yep.
in the air.
Yep. So, okay. I'm off that. We're done.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
During Super Bowl week, we had a couple interviews, one with our friend Josh Allen. You threw out an idea, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes throwing competition. Is that idea going to happen?
Well, I asked him, I said, who do you think could throw the ball further? And he didn't know. He said, that would be fun to do. I went up to him later and I was like, hey, do you really want to do this? Because I think that we could raise a shitload of money for charity if we had like an event where it was just Josh Allen, like a rocket off.
Right.
Just throwing a football and then Pat Mahomes just throwing a football and that's it. And so I talked to Josh. He said that he's in.
Yep.
Slid into those DMs on.
I did too.
On Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
And he has committed interest to it. He said, yeah, let's do it. We'll have to wait till further in the off season, though.
Did he talk to Josh Allen though?
I don't know if he talked to Josh.
No, I know. I confirmed that. I'm confirming. I also slid in the DMs and was like, yo, well, did you? I mean, you probably didn't do the move that I did. Come on, man.
What was yours?
I said, hey, man, congrats on the MVP.
I did.
Okay.
And he said, so, I appreciate said, it with emojis.
He said he had talked to Josh Allen the night prior and that they talked about it.
Sweet.
So okay. We basically got it set.
Let's do it.
And I think we need to do, would you like, do you like my idea that we do like a bunch of different random objects, like a toaster?
That could be cool.
Yeah, like obviously it leads up to a football, but a competition of throwing things.
Paper airplane would be good.
A cat.
Yeah.
Dead cat.
Two cats.
A dead cat, so we don't hurt any cats.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly. We're not trying to be cruel.
We'll kill
here.
The cat before.
Yeah, it'll be put out of its misery efficiently, and then they'll be
a goldfish
thrown
into the ocean.
That would be nice too.
Yeah,
back to its native environment.
Yes, exactly.
Goldfish love the saltwater oceans. Yeah.
By the way, we have the longest living Larry of all time right now.
You know what we should do?
It also coincidentally,
you just mushed our goldfish.
Well, I was going to say right? Coincidentally, it's also the only Larry we've never been responsible.
That's
for.
That's true. How about this? It leads up the final boss in the throwing competition.
Is us
Vortex football?
Oh yes, done.
Like 150 yards. Yeah, launch that shit,
Vortex. If you're still making footballs. Let's do it. Is Nerf still around?
Yeah, Nerf's around.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You Toys R Us going out of business probably hurt Nerf.
You know what we should do? We should just strap Darren Revelle to a chair and put him on the goal line, and you have to throw the ball from your own goal line. We'll blindfold him, and we'll put glasses on him so he looks like a nerd. And then if you hit Revelle, you get an extra 10 yards.
Yeah, we'll you know what we'll do? We'll put him there blindfold. I like everything you just said, but instead we'll throw bullets out of a gun.
I like that. No, it's a hand grenade. The last one is just a hand grenade.
It's all right, Revelle. We don't hate you.
We're not going to kill you.
Come on, Revelle. Just chill out. We might kill the cat.
No, we're definitely killing the cat.
It's gone sideways on us, by the way. This whole point of this was to stop all the fucking assholes that are trying to cuck our competition. And somehow we have killed Darren Revelle and killed a cat and also killed a goldfish.
Do you think that dead cats always land on their feet too?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure, dude, for sure.
Oh, we'll have a dog eat a cat and then we'll throw the dog that has the cat inside its body.
God damn it. Okay, so we're going to do that competition. Everyone back off. Back off. All right. Second to last, we have a perspective. What do we have?
This is from the Rams tackle, Andrew Whitworth.
Mm-hmm.
So he was dealing with his emotions after the game.
Mammoth of a man.
Yes. And a very good player.
LSU.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. He was also runner-up for Block of the Year, Stephen Chase Block of the Year, the coveted award.
Yes, Jason Kelce won that.
Yeah, so they were asking him, and credit to him, he was professional, unlike some other people that don't respect the press and won't talk to them after Super Bowl losses.
Yeah, man.
But he said, at the end of the day, we're all going to die. So,
whoa.
A little perspective here.
Damn.
I hope he didn't mean this day. Was he saying that, like, just everyone's... Is he in a cult? Is he, like, a apocalypse cult leader?
Damn, that's good.
But it is good. It's a good spin zone, just saying, you know what? Nothing matters because we're all going to die.
Damn. Sucks.
Nihilism's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, it is.
You can do whatever you want.
Lebowski.
Kill cats.
Another ad that sucked.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was going to be the new Lebowski.
I thought it was going to be an ad for Kahlua, for a white Russian recipe.
Fuck. Yeah, what was it even?
It was for Stella Artois. You know what happened? They also had the Dos Equis guy in there. Advertising for Stella, is it Artois?
Artois.
I prefer to Americanize it and say Stella Artois.
It's actually just called the beer that you have to rip that fucking paper off, and it's really annoying.
Yeah. Or the beer that's served in the weird glass.
Yeah. The beer that you want to drink when you don't have good enough taste to drink wine, but you want to look like you're classy enough to drink beer.
Stella Artois should just label themselves as the beer that everyone orders at a restaurant that's too fancy to serve Bud Light.
Yeah, pretty much. When you're like with someone who's a little richer than you, you're like, well, fuck. What I really want is some like a Seagram's and Seven.
Yeah, I'll do a Stella. It's Belgian.
Yeah. It's from a native land.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
They have pure purity laws, and nothing's ever gone wrong in Europe with
it's great.
Purity laws.
It's great. All right, last up, explain it to us. Liam, 21 Savage. Who is he?
Okay. So
start with that. Let's start from the beginning.
21, he's...
What song does he do?
We did one in a Larry video.
Okay. Bank account, you're going to have to specify.
You know.
Start talking and I'm going to look for his most famous song.
So he's like new age Atlanta rapper. Kind of blew up a few years ago. He's one of like the first like SoundCloud rappers to really like break the mold and be like mainstream. So he's like super representative of Atlanta, like along with like Migos and other people like that.
Bow, or no, who else got arrested? Bow Wow?
Bow Wow did, but that's problematic.
No, he got another rapper got arrested.
Yeah, Bow Wow did.
Oh, yeah.
For something really bad.
Oh,
wow.
I didn't know what he got arrested for.
Yeah. Bad. But so it came out today. I guess he has been attained by ICE.
No, keep going.
Yeah, there's a new one. Okay.
The DJ from the teamed up with Flavor Flav?
No, it's you would know more than me. I actually don't even know what it stands for.
Immigrations and Custom Enforcement.
Okay, yeah. So apparently he's from the UK.
That's badass. He's British.
He moved here in July 2005.
It's like Idris Elba.
Yeah, it was like legal how
other
he moved.
UK guy, I know. So well, and also the princes. Harry and
Meghan Markle.
What's the other
She's
one?
British.
Harry and who's the other one?
Meghan.
Michael? Prince Michael?
Harry. William.
Probably. Got it.
So his visa ran out.
Okay.
His visa ran out. And so I guess it just came out today. And he's like.
That's it?
Been attained. There's not
a green card situation?
Visa. It was a work visa. He was like, yes, I'm
more MasterCard.
I don't really know. Like, PFT would know how this shit works.
Like,
way more than
mate,
me.
I'm coming to the United States to be a rapper. I'm going to lay down.
Does he have a British accent?
No, not at all.
No, he's faking his Atlanta accent.
Which is like the craziest thing because he's like the most like Atlanta guy out there. Mm-hmm. Like,
I love him.
He has like his voice is like unbelievable when he talks. He's
I'm
like super
right
low
now.
Voice, like
he's got a great
like
voice.
Super deep, heavy.
Sweet, let's
and
free him.
He's from the UK.
Should we do Free 21 Savage?
Yeah.
Free
21
Savage.
All right. So we're on his side.
He's like killed people too, but
whoa.
It's still free 21 Savage.
Do we know that? Or is that a legend?
This is like when Al Capone got arrested for tax fraud.
Yeah, Bubba, yeah. I know that like you usually don't dive into the legal stuff really with us, but if you want to say that somebody's killed somebody, you got to say alleged in there just in case.
Or just show in the inflection of your voice that you're using a question mark.
Yeah.
So he killed someone?
Yeah, also if
yeah,
you say...
Yeah, I think he killed someone.
If you say he killed someone, you're technically snitching, so I wouldn't do that.
True.
So I've got some of his lyrics right here. So I'm going to read them in his... real voice, since he was too much of a coward to do that. All these N-words.
Oh.
Got six figures. They won't miss a no. I'm going to shoot their baby mama if I get the pull. Oh, hey. Bodyguards going through customs. Both of them boys got handguns. Because most of your friends can't trust them. Clout chasing. Me and Savage, we come from the
vet. I like this guy, too.
If you're rapping for money, you silly, mate. This shit ain't a milli. This shit 100.
Do you know who Skepta is? You sound like him right now.
Skepta?
Is
that RG3's new wife?
No, he's like a London rapper.
Yeah, you don't know.
He's been on like Drake
cool
songs and shit. But
oh, yeah, I know. Skepta.
Yeah, that was the voice you were doing. But like, it sucks, obviously. Like, I'm a huge fan of 21, but it was like the most incredible timing because it was like when you're just bored watching like hours of pregame and then it just came out that he's like from the UK. Mm-hmm. And my timeline was like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Just the memes were like unbelievable for a few hours before the game.
Mm. All right.
I ain't giving no free promo.
Oh, by
the
way.
He a cup like Robo. I'm a passer to the gang like Romo. Brand new Rory, I'm solo.
Let me finish with this because it is Super Bowl Monday. We have a report on Robert Gronkowski's retirement, alleged retirement. Gronk says he'll party first, then he'll figure out if he wants to retire or not.
That's a good
expect something in 1 to 2 weeks.
Some people do like a pros and cons list. Some people count to 10. He's just going to slam Jaeger bombs and dance to LMFAO for 2 weeks, and then he'll have a moment of clarity. He'll find his nirvana.
He's just going to be sitting on a couch with his bros, just hammered out of his mind at 4 a.m. Just be like, you guys think I should retire? And that will be how he decides it. And they're so fitting.
You know what it's probably going to be? He'll get a call and be like, hey, Rob, OTAs are next week, and if his reaction is like, this sucks, then he's going to retire.
Right.
And if his reaction is like, whatever, then he'll do it.
But the trick there is it's going to be a call from Belichick, and he's going to do that call in a week. So OTAs won't actually be coming up.
Right.
He'll be like, what?
Oh, man, this offseason is super short.
Fuck. All right, well, congrats on your third ring, Gronk. Congrats to Patriots fans. Football season is over. We will figure everything out. We'll put back the pieces of our lives on Wednesday's show and try to figure out where to go from here.
We'll move forward. There's no other direction to go.
Yep.
I love you guys.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.